You're listening to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains. Yes, that's Stevie Wonder, and isn't she lovely? And yes, Stevie was able to enjoy his daughter, but not all fathers get to be with them the way he probably could. Because the United States is one of the only high-income countries to not ensure that families get a healthy start through paid leave for the birth or adoption of a child. Only 23% of civilian workers get paid maternity leave for the birth or adoption of a child. It's becoming a standard benefit for full-time employees in moderate to well-paying jobs, but not hourly or low-wage workers. And only 13% of civilian workers get paid paternity leave, leave for the father, despite the benefits that family leave provides for families and employers. Dr. Sherry Flint Wallington is an associate professor in the Policy, Populations, and Systems Department at the George Washington University School of Nursing and the Milken Institute School of Public Health. She teaches and conducts research on the social determinants of health and community-based participatory research strategies that focus on prevention, health disparities, and health equity. And she's the co-author of a very good paper on paternity leave that was published by the Milbank Quarterly in December of last year, and more recently published a commentary in The Hill. It was about a week ago. Is that right, Sherry?
Oh, yes, that's correct.
Yes, and it was excellent. It was sort of a more user-friendly version of the commentary you had in the Milbank Quarterly. Thanks so much for coming on to Health Center in the Catskills today.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure, and thank you for inviting me, and just thank you to all the listeners for joining us today.
So I have to say that I was pretty struck by how most other countries, developed nations, have high-income nations, let's put it that way, do have mandated family leave for the birth of a child or adoption of a child, and it includes usually paid paternity leave. How high do other countries? Is it 100% that all parents get leave, or are there numbers approaching our low percent of what was that 13%?
Oh yes, exactly. Start by saying that in the U.S., there really is no federal mandate requiring companies to offer paid paternity leave, which means that really, Diana, it's rarely offered. An unpaid family and medical leave is required to be offered. However, even that is only available to 56% of U.S. employees due to the many exceptions. So paid leave is at the discretion of the employers, and as you mentioned, and only about 13% of U.S. employers offer paid paternity leave. And fathers are less likely to take unpaid leave, and lower-income families are less likely to have access to paid leave and cannot afford to lose the income. And one other point, too, is unpaid leave often increases economic and health disparities as a result. So when we look at other countries, say, for example, South Korea and Japan mandate that fathers get 53 and 52 weeks, respectively, an entire year off.
Wow.
European countries tend to be less generous, between 28 and 2 paid weeks off for the birth of a new baby. So we see that difference. And, you know, what my colleague Tony Yang and I and our community partner Terrence Daly in the op-ed for The Hill, what we're really trying to do, Diana, is bring awareness about paid family leave and to help fathers realize that there's no stigma that should be attached to taking that time off to spend with your family, to bond, you know, with your child. And I think that's an important thing that we need to increase awareness about.
And you know, I have a nephew who just had his third child, and he works for the VA, as does his wife. And,
oh, wow.
And he got paid paternity leave for, I think, 3 months. And it was made a huge difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So talk about why this matters. Talk about what we know about why having parents be able to not work after the birth of a baby or adoption of a baby for some period of time. Why does that matter?
You know, I think it matters for a number of reasons. Paid paternity leave, it prioritizes and makes possible paternal support and involvement. We know that, you know, when a family brings their child home, that's a critical time, you know, to nurture, to bond with the child, to make the child feel safe and secure. And oftentimes that critical period or window really was, you know, left up to the mother because the father immediately probably went back to work. And even modest paternity leave has a positive impact on postpartum depression, maternal mental health, increased postnatal medical checkups, and increased bonding time for both parents with the infant. The research suggests that more paid paternity leave would lead to these further benefits. And I think it's really important, the example that you share with your nephew, you know, that quality time together is just so critical, and that's why it matters.
And is there anything out there on the difference that it makes for other siblings? Because I have this sense that it is real, instead of having this new mother who has the leave mm-hmm. and is stressed with, you know, three kids, and now she has this yeah. image she has to give all the attention to, you know, he was able to really pay attention to the other boys as well. And I would think it would have a strong impact on how the other siblings bond with the newborn, and just on the family unit as a whole.
And you know what, Diana, I can't say I've looked at that research, but what you're getting at is something so very important. First, I want to say what you mentioned about the family unit as a whole. More and more research funders are calling for us to look at the family as a unit in terms of health and wellness. Mm-hmm. So that's the first point. So, yes, I think that your point about he was able to, you know, really give the other children more attention. And often when you bring a new child home and there are other siblings, sometimes the other siblings feel a little bit insecure. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, when the father is home and there are other children in the home, that makes, you know, the family feel secure. And I think that that's always a good thing as well.
So I can, you know, we're up here in the Catskill Mountains where there are
beautiful.
A lot of... Yeah, it is beautiful. And there are a lot of small businesses, and I can hear business owners saying, there's no way I could afford to give both the mother and the father a paid family leave with the birth of a child. How would you respond to that?
You know, that's a question that, you know, I've read about, and often small businesses say a great deal about that. And that sort of came up, I don't know if you heard about it during COVID as well. And I would say to small businesses, work with your HR person. You know, sometimes if there are small businesses, you don't really have like an HR group.
You don't have one. Where,
right. So if you have if it's a larger company, groups can go in together, you know, to sort of develop plans around that. But I would say do some education. Some small businesses, Diana, have done really some creative things. Like they would say, okay, you can come in 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. This person would cover you. We'll cross train, you know, just so that everybody would have an opportunity to have someday, even if it's 1 or 2 days a week, you're working with your colleagues. It's very well planned and organized, so all the jobs and roles are covered. But you just would say, like, for instance, you and I would switch off. I would cover your work while you're off. So companies have a way of doing some creative things. I've heard of small companies working with their small business associations in their areas to sort of help brainstorm around how they can help meet the needs of families, you know, when they don't have the luxury of being able to afford this.
Now, your article includes a table on state policies around paid family leave. Tell us about what different states are doing. And by the way, what can you tell us about New York?
Oh, New York. Let's see. I would say in that article, we see this continuing absence of a federal law requiring employees to pay for family leave. Several states have enacted laws to that effect. We list laws passed in 10 states and the District of Columbia, and they range from 5 weeks, say, for instance, in Rhode Island, 26 weeks in Massachusetts, a paid family leave, and replaced from 52% of wages in D.C. to 90% in Washington State. Mm-hmm. But one challenge we see across the states is that awareness of the program is still quite low, and even lower among low-wage workers, immigrants, and people with lower educational levels. Those very groups who are in most need, I would say, and most likely to benefit from the program. And so I was just trying to remember specifically about New York, and I apologize. The New York State just escaped me right now because certainly there's a lot going on in New York for sure.
But in many ways.
right. But I think, again, but what you see, I would say, in New York, if my memory serves me correct, again, you still see sort of what I would refer to as this disparity with the larger companies, you know, offering some paid time leave or benefit as opposed to the smaller companies, which is really where we need a lot of support with the smaller businesses.
Yes. And just at the federal level, so I know the VA has generous benefits for paternity leave and maternity leave. I mean, not generous compared to some of the other countries you've talked about,
a year or more.
But nonetheless, better than most. What about with the military or other federal programs?
Yeah, you're right. The VA offers paid maternity leave and maternity leave. The federal government does offer parental leave for its employees, and at the beginning of the year, January 4th to be exact, I remember, 2023, the Department of Defense announced it was expanding their parental leave program, so that was exciting to see. And both birthing and non-birthing parents, as well as adopting and long-term foster parents, are now granted 12 weeks of parental leave versus the 6 weeks previously granted for birthing parents and 3 weeks of secondary caregiver leave. So I was really excited to see that for adopting and also long-term foster parents. And so the reason the foster parent piece excites me, Diana, is because we have a number of grandparents now who are parenting their grandchildren and are foster parents, you know, of their grandchildren. So for a long time, if you were a grandparent and you were have adopted or fostering your grandchildren, there was very little support. So it's really exciting to see that kind of support, you know, for that target group.
It is. And so most of the larger companies that provide paternity leave? Do they provide paid leave? Is it paid?
The countries, I would say the countries that offer paid paternity leave also have greater gender equality. So most of these companies in these states that I mentioned earlier, they do offer paid paternity leave. And then, like I was just saying, they have greater gender equality, lower economic health disparities, and better health outcomes in general. However, it is hard to attribute how much of those advantages are specific to paid paternity leave. Mm-hmm. So we need more research to sort of tease it out, how these benefits are specifically linked to paid paternity leave, which does have those impacts within the same community and which are due to a larger society and health delivery differences. So there are like multiple pieces. But paid paternity leave, we believe, is one of those important pieces.
So, you know, in the United States, we give a lot of lip service to family values and family. And yet we do so little to support families to be healthy, to be bonded, to be thriving. And this is in general, but even when families are in trouble, when something has happened that really is compromising the health and well-being of a family, you know, we see it as people being dependent rather than as supporting as part of a community, a family, to get through a tough time. What's your take on this? What is it? Why? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Diana, but Diana, you hit on this at the beginning, and now I thank you for messaging it again and emphasize it. The most important piece is the family unit as a whole. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, you know, we focus on the mother and child, and that's important. You know, we focused less on the father's role, but I think that looking at the family as a unit, and the one tried and true path is to legally mandate it. Mm-hmm. When basic necessities are left up to the employer discretion, they are really inconsistently offered, as we see, if at all. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's the pathway forward. And then I would also say, right now, I'm speaking to you from on campus at George Washington University in my office in the School of Nursing, and I just came back from an awesome in-person lecture with Dr. Tony Fauci, and he really talked about one of the lessons learned from COVID, but I'm going to apply that lesson to what we're talking about today, and that is we really have to make sure that we address the misinformation and disinformation, you know, about health and wellness and what that means, you know, and I'm going to add what that means for the family. And so in terms of the paid leave, as I said earlier, you know, getting the message out, you know, communicating in various sectors with various audiences, you know, why it's so important? Because, Diana, for many men, they feel like if they take time off, there's some type of stigma associated with that, and they don't really understand the benefits for the family. And I would say one lesson learned, you know, throughout all the national surveys and just reading in the lay literature, people said, you know, during COVID, it really help them to get their priorities in order. And one of those priorities, the first number one, was family. So I think that when we talk about paid leave, again, the tried and true path is to really legally mandate it.
Yeah, and I was wondering with regard to the business owners, if there was some kind of a tax credit for business owners that for the cost of having employees be able to get this leave, that would, I think, help, wouldn't it?
Right. That would be an important incentive. And what I was trying to say is that, you know, small businesses, many times they come together, you know, because maybe they're too small to have their own individual health plan with benefits like paid family leave, but come together, you know, form groups where if they bring together several small businesses in their community, they might can get some type of benefit. And I know several groups have done this with other things. They work through their small business association. And if you're in a state or community, universities, many times students have law clinics, public health students. They need practicums. They've really helped a lot of small businesses develop plans such as this. So, you know, being able to tap in to some of those resources and be creative, and yes, tax credits certainly would be a great incentive.
Well, those are some great suggestions, and I'm going to share them with some folks up here, and hopefully we can get some things moving up here to provide paid paternity leave and maternity leave. Sometimes the maternity leave is not very generous.
Absolutely, that too.
Yeah. So, thank you so much for coming on to Health Center in the Catskills today. I've been talking with Dr. Sherry Flint Wallington. She's an associate professor with tenure in the Policy, Populations, and Systems Department at the George Washington University School of Nursing and the Milken Institute School of Public Health. She was the co-author on a paper on paternity leave that was published by the Milbank Quarterly in December of 2022. And I think Tony Yang's the first author on these two pieces.
Yeah.
The second piece was in The Hill, written more for a lay audience, not quite as in-depth as the Milbank Quarterly, but really good.
Yeah.
And the date on that was, what was that, the 1st or 2nd of April?
Yes. And so, that was with one of our community partners here in D.C., and I just want to just say, you know, I'm so thankful to my colleague Tony Yang. You know, we've been working together, you know, for a while since I actually came here to GW. And then our community partner, that's one way to help get the word and the message out into the community.
Well, Dr. Sherry Flint Wallington, thank you so much for coming on to Health Center in the Catskills to talk about this important topic today. Thank you.
Oh, Diana, it was my true pleasure, and I look forward to joining you again.
All right, it's a deal. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so that was very interesting. Boy, we have a lot of work to do, but I'm confident we can do it. That was some very helpful hints in there. If you're a business owner, pay attention. All right, you've been listening to Health Center in the Catskills. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, and we're at WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains.